Thank you so very much for the privilege to be here today. I missed my last engagement. If you were here last February, Dr. Patterson always allows me to be here one time a year. He gave me a second chance. I was supposed to be here in February, and I had an appendectomy the day before I was supposed to show up. And I was told that you prayed for me, and I really appreciate that, and also appreciate the opportunity to be back with you today, and look forward to sharing God's Word with you. So if you'll take your Bibles, which I know you have, I'd like for you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. One of my favorite magazines that I like to read, it's a weekly publication that comes out talking about the culture. It's entitled World Magazine. You may be familiar with that, but there's a writer, I always turn to his section first in there. It's Dr. Gene Veith from Concordia Seminary. He always does the culture watch, and he's very perceptive and hits it usually right on target. And not too long ago, I saw this piece in his column. It said, throughout most of the 20th century, the major theological issue was the battle for the Bible. You don't have to be too smart to figure that one out. But then he says, the mainline Protestant denominations that rejected biblical authority in favor of the various modernist theologies have dwindled in membership and cultural relevance. Evangelicals, on the other hand, who continued to proclaim the life-changing gospel of Christ have flourished, both in numbers and in influence. But despite the apparent victory, a new theological battle, and that's what I want to bring to your attention this morning, a new theological battle is brewing, and I think you're already aware of this. And he says it might be called the battle for the gospel. In a pluralistic society, one where everybody's trying to mix it all together, get a steady stream of garbly gook going out, I really believe he's hit the nail on the head when he says in the 21st century it's going to be the battle for the gospel. Up in New Hampshire not too long ago, I was told there's a church over in Concord, Massachusetts that has a long history. And you go by that church today and it's written on the sign out front, says the First Baptist Church of Concord. And then in parentheses there, in somewhat smaller script, are these words, Unitarian Universalist. First Baptist Church of Concord. Something wrong with that picture. Unitarian Universalist. And so everyone agrees that we're in a postmodern era. I'm not sure what postmodern is. I hear that word all the time. I use it because I'm here at a seminary campus and I think it's going to make me sound smarter. But as he's already told you in my introduction, I'm a numbers man. I came out of the business world. But it doesn't take long to find out that there are a lot of false gospels. And I hesitate to call them false gospels because there's really only one gospel. It's the gospel. Everything else is false. And so we only have one gospel. But the postmodernists have replaced sin with self-esteem, salvation with therapy, the Word of God with a step-by-step manual for happiness, and objective truth with subjective feelings. Not that they don't take the Bible into consideration. They really just ignore it and say, well, you can have that as your truth if that's what you want to believe, but truth really is not absolute. And so my intent today is to try to share something with you from a simple perspective. I was afraid that I would come and try to explain to you predestination, the difference between Calvinism and Arminianism. And I said, after I started looking at that, I'm in the wrong place to be talking about anything other than something simple. In fact, you asked Mrs. Gladys Johnson back in Appomattox, where I first pastored. She had a way of always keeping me humble. And you probably will have one of those where you serve as well, maybe already. Mrs. Johnson, she's in a nursing home there now, but she would always come out the back door after the sermon. And she would usually make some kind of remark that just would bring me to my knees. I remember a couple of them. One, she said, on the way out, she says, Pastor, I really enjoyed the sermon today. That is, you were so simple in explaining the gospel. In fact, you're the most simple-minded pastor we've ever had. And I thought that was a compliment, and the more I reflected on it, I wasn't quite sure, but she would come out sometimes, and she would tell people this all the time, and she told me it on the one out one day as she came going home, and she said, I love your sermons. I really appreciate you giving me a tape of the sermon. She says, I have this real problem sleeping. She says, all I have to do, I usually wake up around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and can't go back to sleep. All I have to do is drop your tape in a tape recorder, and I go right back to sleep just like that. And so what I want to do is try to explain today the simple gospel that you are already aware of, but I just want to bring it back to your attention, not to try to inform you, but to try to encourage you to preach what you know you ought to be preaching anyway, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So like Vince Lombardi, when he would meet with his football players every spring, he would always come to the Green Bay Packers there in their spring training, and he would bring a football. And he would hold that football up to all these big football players there, and he said, gentlemen, this is a football. You'd think he wouldn't have to explain the gospel to seminary students, but it's always encouraging to me to come back and to understand what I'm all about. And so I want to try to just say today, this is our gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's our football. It's what we carry to the world that so desperately needs it. So this word gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul writes in verses 3 and 4, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The word gospel is used in the New King James Version 100 times in 94 verses. It simply means, and I think I'm safe here without getting into the word study, simply means good news. Good news. When I was 17 years old, I had shared with me the good news. In the midst of that sharing that came from the doctor that brought me into the world, Dr. Doyle Curry was his name, my mother was so excited and liked him so well, she named me after her doctor, Doyle Curry. Heard him some 17 years after he brought me in to my first birth. I heard him share the gospel in a youth retreat. He went to Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's part of bad news. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's bad news. Never had heard that before until I was 17. He got my attention just because I knew him. But then he went back to Romans 5:8, said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Good news. Combination. Good news, bad news. And then he took me over to Romans 10:9-10, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Didn't accept Christ that moment. I was too macho, sitting back there with my girlfriend, now my wife. But when I got home that night, he planted something in my mind that wouldn't allow me to sleep. And so about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I crawled out of bed, got on my knees, and I said, Lord, I don't understand what it's all about, this gospel, but I need the gospel in my life. I need to be saved. It is the gospel. Paul says, this is why we exist. This is what we preach. Paul had simply delivered that which he had received. And that's what we do. We carry the gospel. That which we have received, we simply deliver to those that need to hear. It's not a complete gospel to say that Christ died when you look at the gospel, and that's what I want to point out some things here. The gospel is just not the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you see it clearly in these verses. Verse 3 it says, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died. But notice those three words that follow. Every word in the scripture, by the way, is important. And it's inspired. It's infallible. It's men that aren't inspired. It's language and words that are inspired. Christ died, and those next three words says, for our sins. It's not enough for just for us to say that the gospel is Christ's death, but he died for our sins. That's important. That's essential. That's an essential part of the gospel. He died in our place. The judgment of God that we rightly deserve fell on him. He freely sacrificed his sinless life to atone for our sins. Isaiah puts it in a beautiful way. He is despised, rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us, the scripture says. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Yes, an essential element is that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. So you need that added on to it. How else can we know about this Jesus apart from the Word of God? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The second essential is that he was buried. It's the second essential element I want to call to your attention this morning. It's not enough that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was physically buried in a tomb, not just for just a brief moment, and resuscitated. He did not just faint or have a near-death experience. He died. That's an essential element. A third element is found in that verse 4, the latter part, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It's not enough that he died for our sins and he was buried. That's not the gospel. That's not the whole gospel. That's not the good news. The good news is that he rose again the third day. It's interesting that they put, or that God put in there the third day. You know why he put that in there? He wanted to make sure we understood that Jesus was in fact dead. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Not enough that he died for our sins and was buried, but he arose from the grave. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. There we have it, the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Makes a difference in your life. Has some characteristics to it. We see that it has the power. Let's go back over to Romans, if you will, and look at the first chapter, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes, therefore, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We find there not only the characteristics of God, the scope of the revelation. We find all kinds of reflections that we can bring from that verse, but when it all comes down, the product of the gospel is a changed life. A changed life. 2 Corinthians 5:7, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What I want you to see this morning, as I just reflect upon what Christ has done for me that I could not do for myself, what I want us to have in our hearts this morning is an overwhelming sense of gratitude for what he has done that we could not do for ourselves. See, I really think if there's a word of encouragement that I can give to you, and it's also needed in my own life, is I need to have that overwhelming sense of gratitude of what the gospel really means. It's not just something for me to carry to someone else. Yes, that's very, very important. That's our goal in life. That's our vocation. That's our calling. But it's It's an overwhelming sense of gratitude of what the gospel has done for me personally. An overwhelming sense of gratitude that without the gospel being shared with me and my receipt of the gospel into my own life, that I would be lost without Christ. And it's hard for me to even imagine what would have happened to me if someone had not shared that gospel with me a number of years ago. And so what I want you to do today is just to have that sense of gratitude for the gospel. You say, well, how can I keep that kind of attitude? How can I stir it up? You know, Paul told Timothy, stir up the power of fearlessness and stir up the power of a sound mind. And how can we stir it up? Well, I think what we need to do sometimes is just to simply take a walk with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Let's look at Luke's gospel. Jesus appeared to his disciples here, verse 44. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Jesus says to his disciples here, take the word of God seriously. Its revelation, its reliability, its relevancy. It's not that they be wise above the word. This is important. This is current. It's not that they be wise above the word, but that they be wise in the word. Take the word of God seriously, he encourages his disciples. Verses 46 through 48. He says, proclaim the gospel fervently. He said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Take the word of God seriously. Proclaim the gospel fervently, Jesus said. Depend upon the Holy Spirit completely, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And then verses 50 through 53, worship and praise him continually. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Do you have an overwhelming sense of... Yes, but do we have an overwhelming sense of gratitude today for what it means to us personally? Is there a cross behind me? There's not a cross behind me. Yeah, but I had an overwhelming sense of gratitude experience. You ever have those? Sometimes when you're just overcome with love and appreciation for what Christ has done. I had one of those experiences not too long ago. I'd like to share that with you in conclusion this morning. And it's something we probably ought to experience when we see the cross. I was coming back from Northern Virginia, coming back home, and happened to realize it was May the 18th. May the 18th is my wife's birthday. I learned a long time ago I don't forget my wife's birthday and anniversary. Two important dates. So I wanted to stop by to get a card. Pulled into the mall area there. I was experiencing some difficulty with my foot. Had a sore foot. My wife says I'm a sore head, but I had a sore foot. Had this boot on my foot. I was complaining about it. It was getting in my way. It was a nuisance. I was having a pity party for myself, really, because I could no longer walk like I wanted to walk or run like I used to run. Pulled into the parking lot there. It's raining a little bit. Could not find a close parking place to the mall. Had to get out in the rain with this boot hobble into the Sears. I don't know where to go in the mall except the Sears. Went into Sears, and I asked them, "Do you have a card shop in Sears?" They said, "No, we don't have a card shop in Sears." I thought Sears sold everything. I bet you can order it in the catalog. So I said, "You'll have to go to the other side of the mall, to Hallmark." And so I was fussing, complaining to myself, hobbled back out to the car through the rain, got into the car, drove around to the other side of the mall. As it would stand, I couldn't find a close parking place, and so I had to walk, hobble back into the mall area in the rain, complaining all the way. Went into the Hallmark shop there and looking through all the cards, trying to find just the right message for my precious wife. And as I was there looking at that, I received a pat on my shoulder, my back. And as I turned around, I saw a man sitting in a wheelchair with no legs. Even to this day, I cannot tell this story without being filled with an overwhelming sense of gratitude. As I turned around and saw that man with no legs, something happened. The Holy Spirit of God just zapped me. The Holy Spirit of God just immediately began to bring tears flooding out of my eyes. I don't know what it was. He didn't say anything. All he said was pat me on the shoulder. And I turned and looked, because I was complaining about a sore foot and a little inconvenience. And as I got back into my car, I almost skipped out to the car, boot and all. And from that day on, I never complained one day for a sore foot. When we see the cross, we look at the very simple gospel that so many stumble over. We see a cross. We understand that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again after the third day according to the Scriptures. And we understand for ourselves the very simple gospel that changes others' lives is the same gospel that changes our own life and fills us with an overwhelming sense of gratitude for what Christ has done that we could not do and can never do for ourselves. So when you skip out of this place today, walk out. You carry with you a lot of concerns, a lot of problems. But just remember, Christ makes it all worthwhile. We carry His glorious gospel to a lost and dying world. The gospel that is the power of salvation. The gospel that can change lives. The gospel that, if it's not watered down, can change a world for Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I want to say, first of all, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for the overwhelming sense of awe that I have when I understand how simple the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ really is. That He died for my sins, according to the Scripture. He was buried, and after 3 days He arose again, according to the Scriptures, that we might have the glorious privilege of a changed life, yes. Abundant life, yes. But to have the glorious privilege of carrying that very simple gospel to a lost and dying world. And so, Father, I pray for each student here today, each professor. Father, help us to get back to the basics. Help us to just simply understand our assignment, and that is to share the gospel wherever we go, to whomever we meet, that the gospel can be the power of salvation to those that hear and receive its very simple message. For we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dalton. Amen and amen. It is so important that we get the gospel right and we share it with those who so desperately need it. Now, we need to do something that is very, very important before we go. I know it's time for us to go, but you don't have a class till 11:30, so it's going to take us just about a minute or two to do something that's very important, and that has to do with our Women's Fellowship Day next week. Remember that we're trying to bless our ladies as much as we can next week. Well, I want to recognize our student body president, James Hilton. He wants to make a very important announcement in this regard, and I think he has some folks to help him as well.
Thank you, Dr. Moses. Everyone should receive just a little sheet like this. If you did not receive it, just raise your hand up. We have some ushers that are out. We'll give you one right now. But I want to talk to all the godly men in here who love their wives and plan to love their wives in the future. Now, if you're ungodly and don't plan on loving your wife, we have more important problems to deal with. But I want to talk to you a little bit about helping out. We need child care workers for that day on November 2nd, the Women's Fellowship Day. We need you to help out with child care from 8:30 to 2 p.m. We need your help. And what I want you to do is I want you to fill out this card. Go right now, just fill it out, put your name down there, your box number, your phone number, the time that you'll be available, and your email. Now you're saying, James, you know I love kids, but what can I get out of this too? We're going to pay you $7 an hour. Now that's incredible, $7 an hour, and you laugh, $7 an hour is pretty good price now. And if you work all day, now listen to this, $45 plus a free meal. Now you can't beat that, you can't beat that. So you can say, man, I'm a godly person, I love my wife, or will love my wife, and plus I'm going to get paid for it. Those three things, what more can you ask for? But we honestly need your help. We have over 150 children and only 7 workers signed up so far. Now, under Dr. Patterson, I do not have the, I've not reached that level of cursing you with the lice of camel hair, but I'm learning, and so I will curse you that if you do not sign up this, all the days of ministry, you will be cursed with not finding adequate workers for nursery and preschool. And so I cast that upon you now. So sign up or else that curse will come. So go ahead and sign that up and pass it to the end of the rows. We have our ushers. They will take these and hold them up. And ladies, if you're beside some gentlemen, kind of nudge them. They kind of look at them. Make sure that they are going to love their wife and they are godly men. And ushers, go ahead and make your way down the aisle. And while they're doing that, I just want to make two quick announcements. One is that, remember the Dulos Great Soda Can Giveaway. They'll meet at the high school. What that is, they'll be giving soda cans to high schoolers and tell them about Jesus Christ. It's a great way for you to go out and do that. And the second thing, very important, on Tuesday, October 31st, now October 31st, the day that will live in infamy due to Martin Luther, will be another day of theological greats, because Dr. Patterson will be here October 31st from 1:30 to 3 answering a lot of the theological questions that have gone on the past couple weeks. And so now is your chance to find out what exactly does Dr. Patterson believe on different issues, and a way for you to open up as a campus-wide to say, Dr. Patterson, what's your view on this? Dr. Patterson, what do you believe about this? Dr. Patterson, give us proof for your position on this. It's a great way for you to do that, October 31st from 1:30 to 3 o'clock, and make sure you come to those two things, and make sure that we fill this out and turn it in. We need your help. And we need your support to come out and be a child care worker for those days.
Thank you very much, James. And thank you, gentlemen, who are taking up those cards. And thank you to those of you who have volunteered to help. And to those of you who have not, God knows your heart. If you're unwilling to do that, then Brother James is right. Every time in your ministry you stand to preach, there'll be at least one screaming baby screaming at the top of his lungs the entire time you try to preach, because you had a hard heart when you were in seminary regarding this matter of caring for little ones, so that this day could be a blessing to these ladies. Tomorrow Jack Graham is going to be in chapel. He's pastor of the Prestonwood Baptist Church over in North Dallas. I guess one of the biggest Southern Baptist churches in the Southern Baptist Convention in these days right now. And Dr. Graham plays a pivotal role in the state of Texas in these days. Let's show up to hear him preach the word to us. Great preacher of the word tomorrow in chapel at 10 o'clock. I think our men are getting near the end back there. And those of you who have a card and you're in the back, just please be sure to place that in one of the buckets there. So we're dismissed and we'll see you tomorrow.